New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On time.
It's tricky. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right. On time. It's tricky. It's tricky.
BT and Sal back on the fan. Ooh, look at this. We got a little golf date. Yeah. BT and Jerry. Yeah,
make a little tee time. My boy Retko.
It was my invite.
Hey.
Can I tell you something real quick before we get to the Yankees?
Yes.
I started to get the itch.
The itch. Let
the golf
me see.
Itch.
Oh, the golf itch. I thought you were going to go somewhere with football.
No.
The
no.
itch.
I was talking with TC, Terry Collins.
Okay.
And just like the camaraderie of it, playing all the time. He's like, yeah, you don't have to be good. And he's using some expletives in there, of course. But you know, we got to get him in studio one of these days. Next time he's in town, I'm actually going to ask him if he wants to come in and hang. But hearing him talk about it, and other guys talking about it too. I know the morning guys talk about it all the time. You've been talking about it.
Yeah.
It's not like I don't like it. I used to. I'm not any good. I don't have the time to take to be good.
Yep.
But I do miss going out there and having a tee time and hanging out and knocking it back, you know, a few surf sides.
You got to. It resets me. I mean, you know, I just came up a while ago and I remember saying to you, it's like, I'm not, certainly at this age and with kids and with a wife, like, I'm not going out. Like, I'm not going out.
Right.
You know, I don't need to have late nights for my profession. Like, if you're in sales, I get it. Sometimes, you know.
You got to go do it.
You have meals, and you come home late. You got to do that. And it's fun, but it's, you know, you're coming home late. I'm home. So, you know, for me to get a little time for Daddy to remain sensible,
yeah,
you got to find out some, you got to carve out some time on the course.
Right.
My wife's cool with it.
So what day next week we going?
Oh, you can't come.
Why?
Well,
because you don't think I'm good?
Has nothing to do with being good. No, because I'm not good.
Max one invite?
No, I can invite whomever I want to my place.
Oh, you're just trying to get a break from me?
No. It's funny, Jen I think she knows that we're good with each other.
Right.
She knows we love working with, but she's still checking. She's like, hey, is it still going well with Sal? You still enjoy? I love working with him. Like, she's checking in to make sure we haven't driven each other nuts. She actually asked me last night. No, it has nothing to do with trying to get away from you. I just think I want to spend a little time with Jerry. I know you are.
I'm being left out. I want to spend some time with Jerry, too. I don't have a club.
You spent time with Jerry going to all the Ivy League games.
Yeah,
and you spent
true.
A lot of time to call him at hotels. I need my Jerry time.
All right, fair enough.
Of course, I'm messing around. Yeah. Dude, of course you could come, but I know you work two jobs.
No, I'm busy. I'm sorry.
So you're not going to come.
Well, next week, we're off. By the way, vacation next week, which means we're going to take a look at our over-unders tomorrow.
I'm not doing very well.
That's why I made a note of that.
I'm not doing. Volpe's killing me. Yankee win total. Met win total. Things are going. Severino, we are Ray. Rodon.
I made sure I put a note of that. Hey, we're going on vacation next week. It's the All-Star break. Let's do a little over-unders on Friday.
I might lose that one.
All right, so speaking of the Yankees.
Yes.
I mean, last night, they hung on for dear life. They were playing with fire all night long. It took everything they had to eke out a 2-1 win. Boone looked relieved after the game, which
is
understandable. But, I mean, my goodness, should it be this hard to get a win against the Rays?
Well, I mean, they're not the Rockies, so just the inflection, the Rays.
I mean, they're under 500.
Right, but they're a well-run, buttoned-up franchise. They play hard. Listen, I think I could take the low-hanging fruit, and I could criticize the Yankees for a win that wasn't very pretty. And again, another empty night on offense. I'm not going to do that. You never know when the start of a change is going to occur. And I'm not forecasting that. I'm not predicting that because I think this Yankees team has so many holes that I think at this point, unless they make big changes, plural, I think they're incapable. The lineup, all right? I think the pitching staff could bounce back a little bit more maybe than the sticks. But I think they're incapable of becoming an elite offense again. I'm not saying that they won't look amazing when Judge hits a three-run bomb and Soto tanks one and he has a double and a walk. Intermittently, they can look very dangerous and very potent, but this lineup is not it. However, to grade wins, aesthetically, it wasn't that. They won the game.
Right.
And sometimes a winning streak starts from what could be perceived as a fairly innocuous win. So I'm not going to minimize it.
Agreed. I did the same thing with the Mets. I was like, yeah, you barely beat the Marlins. Great. And then they went off on a run. So you're right. Getting a win is huge. Now, tonight, I feel like, again, I know that it's July 11th. I know what the Yankees' record is. I understand what the expectations are, and it's a long season. I feel like tonight is an enormous game because more important than winning a game for this team right now, looking with the Orioles on deck here coming up this weekend, they have to win a series here, BT. You've got to win a freaking series. This is an enormous game for the Yankees tonight to try to get 2 out of 3 and just at least, okay, exhale. It wasn't pretty. They got the win. Move on and go see if you could somehow take 2 of 3 from Baltimore and feel good about yourself, at least stabilizing a little bit going into the All-Star break.
It would be really nice. I don't know if I buy momentum. Well, I guess I do to an extent. But, you know, baseball momentum, I don't mean in the batter's box. That's a real thing, for sure. Like, there's times you go up there, you know, before your cleat kicks a grain of dirt, you feel like it's 0-2. Like, when you're in a funk hitting, you step in the box, it's 0-2. And the one meatball, you foul back, you wave it, you're an absolute disaster. And then the converse is, everything's a beach ball, you're on everything, and you miss nothing, and you barrel everything up. But from a team perspective, I'm not saying it's not important. I'm not disagreeing with you, because I hear you. You know, you win this game, if they do, it's 2 out of 3 going to Baltimore. Baltimore, by the way, has lost 2 straight. They've only won 5 out of their last 10. Yankees, 3 of their last 10. So neither team is exactly red hot, although the Orioles play much better in a bigger snapshot. But, like, let's say the Yankees win tonight and win 2 out of 3 against Baltimore, and they come back after the All-Star break. Does it really tangibly mean anything by the time they reconvene the season? I don't think so. Maybe the message to Baltimore, showing that from a Yankee perspective, it shows the Yankees that, hey, we can hang with these guys because they haven't yet proven that. But I don't think that it means that they start the season because they won 4 or 5 to finish, or whatever, 3 or 4, 4 or 5, whatever it might be, and suddenly, boom, 9 out of 10 to start the second half. It doesn't work that way.
But they have to start separating themselves from this awful funk that they've been in for an extended period. And the way to do that is to not win a game, it's to win a series. If they win tonight, now the talk is, okay, well, the Yankees won a series, now it's about Baltimore. First place matchup, Orioles-Yankees for AL East supremacy going into the All-Star break. If they lose tonight, it's great, they won the night before, but they just lost another series and now are in danger of being further behind, because if they lose tonight, why would you think that they're going to beat Baltimore in a series? It just, for me, this is an important game to get that stink out of the Yankees building right now. Win this one, exhale a little bit, go into Baltimore and see if you can win 2 out of 3 and just at least feel good. Does it mean one thing or another, you know, definitively at their season? No, big picture, but my goodness, at some point they got to start winning series. Why not tonight?
You know, in a weird way, I of course I want them to win, but I almost, it sounds so stupid and weird, but I almost don't want them to go on a streak.
Why? Because it masks the reality?
Yeah, I think it masks these fatal deficiencies that they must address.
Okay, but then what's your other option? Do you want to happen? They're not going
to make multiple trades.
For the good?
You got to get a third baseman?
But they're going to do that anyway.
You're not so sure that they're going to do that?
I would. If I'm evaluating this team right now and the deadline's tomorrow, I'm selling.
Well, that's ridiculous. Selling what?
Selling whatever you can. I don't think the team is any good.
Who wants DJ LeMahieu? Nobody. How much money are you going to eat?
Juan Soto.
Well, Soto's different.
Although his hand being banged up is.
Really, since the elbow, he's never been the same quite.
Yeah. Again, point is, I'm looking to change it up. I can't double down again. That we've been down this road with this team plenty of times before. This is not a team that I think is worth investing in. Now, if you want to say they, and this is what they're going to say, Stanton's coming back after the All-Star break.
Yep.
That's going to change everything. They can make a move, go get a third baseman, as you say.
Dominguez.
Dominguez, whatever it may be. That's what they're going to sell you on. I'm not getting fooled again. I don't believe that they're good. I don't believe the Yankees are a good team. Starting pitching, bullpen, lineup, I don't think they're good. I don't think that they can be fixed at the deadline.
I do. I honestly do. They looked like a team. And I remember talking about this with you and saying this feels different than a couple of years ago when they jumped out to this lead. And
I thought so, too.
I know. I never was fully – I never thought that that team was it. I mean, I was enjoying it. I was having fun.
Wait, this year?
A couple of years ago.
Agreed.
They looked different, starting with the opening series down at Houston, gunning guys down at the plate, Volpe's two-strike approach, you know, the energy that Verdugo was emitting, the diving catches he was making every night, even when the Yankees won a game. I remember seeing it. I'm like, wow, okay, just a different juice, where a different energy, where Judge and obviously Soto and Verdugo are jumping on each other in the outfield before they get to the infield to dap it up with the teammates. Yeah. And Stroman's out there doing his thing. And Rodon looks like this great reclamation project. And we're sitting here saying, ah, Gerrit Cole's not even back yet. And here we go. There's so many things tangibly, not leaps of faith, but tangible improvements where I'm like, this is a different team. This is a team because their at-bats are better. It's a more circular lineup. They're fundamentally better. I actually thought that they could get to and win the World Series. I don't believe that now. I don't. But I do believe that there are, and it's got to be a money move, not a little tweak Band-Aid. That's why I keep saying McMahon. I throw out an actual name. They're a move or two away from being a team that could win. Okay. And I couldn't say that a couple of years. I didn't think it last year. I certainly didn't think it the year before. This year, I do, but not unless they make trades.
Yeah, I thought the same thing you did, that this was a legitimate team. It was there was real foundation behind it. It was different this year than it was a couple years ago. And now I've seen too much. I'm not getting fooled by it anymore. They're going to have to prove it to me. I don't think that they're a move or two away. I think it's going to take a lot to go right for the Yankees to get back on track. Nikki is calling from Nutley. What's up, Nikki?
Boys, as a sit on hold, I told the producer, I'm like, I just want Brian Cashman to get off his ass. And then you guys are like hitting points. And like, BT, I mean, you've been doing it for weeks, like, just like, you know, the moves, like the McMahon move, all these things. Like, instead of waiting until the end of July, let's start like all-star break. Make a goddamn move where you're gonna start the shaking. You can't wait on DJ Rizzo. It's like first and third we need to take action, right? Like, make the moves now. That's the point I'm just trying to make. Like, let's get it started. Why wait till July? We're never gonna sell. We're not. Let's just face facts. This isn't 2016. We're not going to sell off. We don't even have pieces to sell off, personally. Maybe like a Luke Weaver. I don't even know.
Well, Soto would be the guy. If you're going to sell.
Oh, yeah, true. I mean, yeah, but I think like the city will burn if that happens. Just be riots.
The other part, Nikki, and not that you're wrong, and thank you for the call. The city will burn if that happens. But
it's
kind
of burning anyway.
Well, what if they just lose them for nothing? I mean, then that's a big problem. So I'm not saying it's an easy decision. I'm saying that it might be the best decision for the team moving forward. But BT, the reason why they can't do anything now is because teams aren't going to be willing to trade guys right now unless it's going to be a ridiculous asking price. So,
yeah, well, listen, I think you look at, to determine the trade market, you have to think, all right, number one, how many teams are in it and how many teams would be willing to add. But you've got to know who's going to be selling. White Sox, Angels, A's, the Marlins, and the Rockies. To me, there's five teams right there, all right? Who's going to buy? Well, I think both of our teams are buying. I think the Yanks are buying. I think the Mets are buying.
I think there are going to be more buyers than we're used to because of the expanded postseason. I mean, that's just the way that we're going. And most teams are going to be looking for bullpen. Look, here's the other thing, BT. Do you think the Yankees are going to be willing to take on money?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
Based on what?
Based on the fact that they know they've got, you know, this unique, until proven otherwise, one-year window with Soto, Judge, and Cole in their prime.
Fair enough. I don't, based on history and based on what Hal has said repeatedly, but they're going to have to. Because my counter, if you would have said no, okay, well, then you're going to have to give up prospects. Are they going to be willing to do that?
Yes.
And it might be top guys.
Not Dominguez, and they're never trading Dominguez.
All right, forget about him.
They could trade Jones. Well, they could.
It might. You might have to.
Yeah.
If you want to get good players in here and multiple players at multiple positions and areas, you're going to have to either take on money or give up prospects. And in the case of the Yankees, probably both because they need so much. Mm. Give up prospects and take on money. That's something that they haven't been willing to do in years past. Certainly not the top guys. They go like almost.
I know.
They don't go all the way in.
I know.
Like, yeah, we want Luis Castillo. We need a pitcher.
We'll take Montas.
Yeah.
That's the example I was just reaching for. I know. I think this year's different. Now, it's not different until it's different. It's not actually, doesn't change till it changes. I used to say that all the time. Nothing changes till it actually changes, but I feel like it's going to. I got something funny for you, 30 seconds real quick, because we're talking about the Yanks and the Mets and the Alonso stuff and what the Yankees could do, should do. Big picture. Right now, and I've got this this database that pumps all this stuff out. So just trust me on the numbers. It's their numbers, but it's a pretty interesting engine how they come at these numbers. What do you think the projected win total for the Yankees is right now? Give me a number. We'll do Yanks and Mets.
94.
Close, 95.4. Mm. What do you think the Yankees' projected playoff probability rate is right now, percentage-wise?
96.
98.3.
Okay.
All right, from the Mets' perspective, projected win total is... Now they calculate who they played, who they have to play, everything. Injuries.
83.
Almost on the money. 83.8.
Okay.
Playoff percentage.
I saw something last night about this.
There's a few different ones out there, so. This one that I have.
Okay, I'm not going to go based off anything that I saw. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go what I would think.
Yeah, yeah, sure,
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say right around 50. I'll 48.
Hey, I think you better start betting football games again this fall. 47.4.
That's unbelievable.
And you nailed almost every one of them.
That's unbelievable.
Start betting those parlays, buddy.
I mean, but again,
get those round robins going. I know you put it on ice for a little bit. Sally's getting hot again.
I'm back, baby. All right, BT, you pump me up. Let's get the FanDuel. No, I like that because I'm not a numbers guy. I'm just going based off of like the realistic stuff that I'm seeing and where we're at here. And it does make sense. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to stay to that.
No. Because a month ago, the Yankees were 103 wins.
Right.
So it doesn't mean that it's going to stay that way.
Right. And also, what would it be? Like, you can't really go. They're 98, you said?
I guess the 96. Yankees are 95.4.
Oh, and I guess. What?
I'm talking about percentage. Percentage 98.3.
Right.
To
so
get
I,
into
I guess
it.
96. What were they a month ago? 100? Like,
it was like, it was barely, you know, infinitesimally, if you will, below 100%.
Yeah.
Barely.
That makes sense. And the Mets, I know, were probably
83.8 wins, 47.4% playoff probability.
Yeah. I mean, both teams.
And that's flipped, too.
Well, see,
what were they when they were 11 games under? What were they, probably about 20%?
I bet you
30%?
I bet you that's changed more. The Mets have changed a lot more than the Yankees.
I agree.
The other part of this, and I thought about this yesterday, we were talking about, you know, Yankees being buyers or sellers. I understand why most people would say, no, you got to be buyers. Because you have a chance to get in the postseason, and once you get in the postseason, anything could happen.
Yep.
And that's their goal, and this is the Yankees, and this is New York. I understand that. I just don't believe in this team. And if you're thinking, logically speaking, taking the emotion out of it, which is easier for me to do because I'm not a Yankee fan,
mm-hmm.
so I could take the emotion out. Although I could do the same thing with the Mets if I needed to. And plus, the Yankees are always in the playoffs anyway. I want significant change with them to get this thing turned around. That's why you would think about selling. But certainly, you're talking about entertainment purposes and wanting to be in the playoffs. And how could you ever think about selling Juan Soto? Yeah, all right, you could bring in a boatload back that can maybe help you in the future. But you're waving the white flag on this season, which is not a good sign for anybody.
I want to push back on something here and see if you still believe this. And if you do, I'd be a little surprised. So you say you can't see this Yankee team winning it. And right now, I can't see this team winning it either. You don't think they're going to make big moves. I do. Okay, out of necessity. So let's envision a lineup. Let's say they get McMahon from the Rockies.
Yep.
Lefty stick, good fielder, young, just not a great player, good. You've seen him against
like
the Mets.
Him,
come on, he's good. And he's batting sixth or seventh.
Okay.
All right. And Dominguez comes back.
Yep.
So right away, the lineup that we're watching every night, suddenly get rid of two stiffs and put in, now, I know Dominguez has a lot to prove,
I get you.
Pop, speed, McMahon,
you're
power.
You're taking out LeMahieu and Grisham, and you're putting
Yes. And against lefties, Stanton's back, and under the assumption, and I do think it's a big assumption, not big, but
you take Verdugo out in that circumstance?
Whatever, you can mix and match.
Maybe, but you might have to.
It's
important to add because it's not just like, well, Dominguez and Stanton, and Verdugo, and Judge, and Soto.
That's put Verdugo on the bench for now.
Okay.
Put Dominguez in center, put Judge in left, or Soto in left, however they do that in the other and right. Let's say that Ben Rice is not a star, but he's certainly not a scrub. And he's serviceable, and he's playing a little bit more, giving you good at-bats with a good profile on base, et cetera. 7th, 8th, 9th, whatever it might be. And Gerrit Cole starts to resemble Gerrit Cole. Now, you don't at least see the like, I didn't even see the foundation of a championship team last year or in 2022. This year, I do.
It's a lot there, though.
But it's not that much because Dominguez is absolutely coming back.
Oh, we said that before.
No, he's coming back, dude. I mean, now, he's coming back.
Oh, right, but there's still a question mark of, A, is he coming back? B, when he does come back, what is he going to
do? He's better than Grisham. I know that.
I mean, okay.
I know that. And Grisham's playing every night.
I can find a lot of players who are better than Grisham.
But that's the point. Grisham's not going to be playing anymore. Right. He shouldn't be playing.
I'm just saying that, what is Dominguez? We really don't know. We thought the same thing with Volpe. Like, I feel better about the argument if you said, what if Volpe returns back to form? Then it's, all right, well, now you're cooking. But what is Anthony Volpe? We don't know. So I can't go off of Dominguez's seven games in the big leagues, whatever it is. I can't go off of that yet. Yes, I want him back, and I want to see what he can do. But we're also evaluating what he can be. And then if Stanton comes back, and then how they're going to work that. Yeah, I see what you're saying. That lineup at least is like, okay, starting to get somewhere now. But then I can poke holes in the starting rotation, even with Cole coming back. Well, then what's Rodon? Stroman is Cortez, again, I like him, but, you know, what's Luis Gil? Then we go to the bullpen. Do you ultimately trust Clay Holmes? And then what about Holmes? Like, yeah, last night Weaver was great and Hill was great, but are those guys, like, there are just so many question marks about this team.
Can I boil it down this way?
Yeah.
I'm going to grant you this. I'm going to meet you halfway. Right now, this team definitely has more questions than answers.
Right.
There's no question. I don't think there's any doubt about that. There are more things that we have to be concerned about with the Yankees than we can sit there and say definitively and say, asset, fully believable, absolutely going to get the job done. I do think that that could change, but until it does, you know, they're not winning anything.
Fair enough.
Set up.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They've done it against the Atlanta Braves. They've come from seven runs down here at the bottom of the eighth inning. They lead it 11-8. Piazza with his 22nd home run of the year, and this place is absolute bedlam here at Shea.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the field. What's going on over there? What are you watching during the break?
I can't describe it. It was, I can do it cleanly.
I wish people could come hang sometimes and see what goes on during the break.
God, you got to see the circus in here, man. Some young lady was, listen, it seemed like she was just trying to become the next Haktua girl.
It was ridiculous.
I don't know what it was.
What the hell is going on over there? think about what you're saying. Like, I grew up wanting to be the next Mike and the Mad Dog.
Or Don Mattingly, or Chris Mullin, Haktua.
People now growing up want to be the next Haktua girl. Oh, my God.
I'll tell you what. I also just caught wind of something here that is pretty interesting.
What's that?
Would you go to, are you on X right now?
I am, yeah.
All right, go to our boy Hoff's account, Pete Hoffman. So I tweeted, it was very cool. One of the listeners who was at Citi Field last night sent me and you, I think he put everybody on there, you know, Tiki and Evan and Gio and Booms, obviously, at the Met game, and I'm sure many of you have seen this, they have a really nice digital board of our shows.
Right.
WFAN, Sports Radio 66, 101.9,
yeah.
You know. Odyssey, our pictures. It looks awesome, right beneath the massive scoreboard. So somebody sent me the picture. I put it up and I said, appreciate the love, Mets, right? And then above it, Hoff subtweeted something. Could you read what he subtweeted?
Okay, here we go. I have it. This picture seems to be missing, quote, the future. The power of positivity has not been recognized by the Mets organization. Does that mean it's not real? And Hoff, who were you referring to when you tweeted that?
Well, you know who the future is. It's Tommy Lugauer.
So Lugauer was not seen here. Now, that's not the Mets not acknowledging him. That's...
it's probably more us.
The fan.
It's worse.
Hoff, that's not nice.
Now, why would you feel compelled to take a shot at Lugie there?
Well, why is Marash in that picture?
Well, because he's the current.
Right, but if I'm Lugie, I'm like, well, wait a second. Yeah. Marash is in there and not me.
Lugie speaks as much as Sean does.
Like, if it were Evan and Tiki, no beef. That's the name of the show.
Yeah, it's the name of the show.
But you see, it's Evan, Tiki, and Marash in there. If I'm Lugie...
I got a little beef with that.
I'm a little hurt by
that. Yeah, I would definitely... that would bother me.
He's not recognized by the station. He's not recognized by the Mets. This maybe he's just praying for the future? I don't know.
Wow. Hey, here's all I know.
Whoa.
We're up there. That's all I care about.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Wow. Okay.
Ooh, Hoff and Lugie. Set up a steel cage match. Who do you think would win in the fight, Hoff and Lugie?
Hoff.
I mean, Hoff's got significant size on him.
He's massive.
Yeah, but Lugie could be quick and tough. No. Scrapper.
I'm not saying he can't scrap. I'm not saying he wouldn't have the willingness to.
Lugie's got the quickness, 100%.
I mean, Hoff, what do you
think? I also train a little bit, too.
What do you weigh? 270 now? What do you
more than
train
that
with what?
More?
Exactly.
I do karate. I've done kickboxing. I've done a little bit of everything.
So. For how long?
A few years.
Really?
On and off, a few years,
When was the last time you did it?
Couple weeks ago.
Oh.
So you're about 285. Lugie's about 145, 150?
Zoo, who you got?
What's Loogie about?
Who you got in the scrap? Loogie's
150 top.
Yeah, dripping wet. What do you got, Zoo?
I mean, I got to take Hoff in this. It's not like a question to me. I mean, Tommy, I get it, Sal. He's quick and he's nifty, but like, unless you're going in an open field where he's just going to run and run and run, like, that don't matter.
Well, by the way, do we know that he's quick? Just because he's thin doesn't mean that he's quick.
I think Loogie's got some
quickness. No, I think he does too, but we're assuming, like, that's...
Maybe just because he's a fast talker, I feel like he's faster, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're all fast talkers.
Yeah, well, I mean... I don't know. I mean, that could be an interesting one. Maybe we'll do that in next live.
I could take a punch, too. That's the other thing. I don't think Loogie can actually take a punch.
Okay. I got to keep an eye on this blossoming development here.
How about a tag match? Like a Survivor Series type match.
The four
of us. We got to get Zoo, though.
Four of us?
Not Dove. Dove might be coming back soon, but for the match, we need Zoo.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, versus their show?
Yeah.
Who wins?
You know what? Like, we could actually maybe have a match.
Sounds good.
Middays versus afternoons.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
Tiki's a problem, though. Because Tiki's going to pin all of us.
Oh, you got to take Tiki down.
Tiki was a real wrestler. Like, real wrestling. Like, basically a state champion with Ronde.
Right, but...
It's going to be a problem. Tiki loves me. He doesn't love you, and he doesn't care about Hoff. Oh, yeah, he likes Hoff.
He likes me. He does.
He puts up with you.
I like Tiki.
You don't impact his world at all. I got news for you. Like, he actually loves me.
Do you?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, more than I'm not with him.
Yeah, he could be a problem, but the other three, like, no problem.
I don't know. I think Sean's probably had a few bar fights in his day, don't you think?
Did you see Gio pancake him a couple years ago?
I've heard about it a million times. Yeah, I have not seen it.
He's soft.
Sean's soft, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
Like, I think we have them, our depth is better, but they have Tiki. Like, outside of Tiki, they've got nothing.
Well, again, I'm not saying Marash is nothing.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him.
I'm not saying I'm worried. I'm not saying he's nothing.
We got Zoo on Marash.
Give him a little respect.
Zoo on Marash, no
problem.
That's
true. Actually, Zoo can handle Tiki and Marash.
Zoo, can you handle Tiki, you think?
I mean, pardon me, Evan and Marash.
Oh, Evan.
Just get rid of him, and then you and I can double team Tiki.
There we go. There you go. Now we're talking. I think that's our chance.
Put him through the table.
Zoo can handle Evan and Marash.
Maybe even Luki. Maybe all three of them.
And then the three of us can go take Tiki down.
That's the way we win.
We have the men of the station. They have the boys. Let's put it that way.
Boy, you just digged this whole date, bro.
We're trying to dig you out of it.
You're not afraid?
I'm not afraid of anybody.
I'm not saying you should be afraid, but I mean, did Luki do something to you? Because this is like the third or fourth time he kind of hinted at, I was talking about
the whole show right there. I wasn't just talking about Luki on that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Evan left him out of the book mentions. All right.
Yes, that's right.
See you, Sal, on the fail. Let's get back to the calls here. We'll get game time coming up in a little bit.
All right.
Joe is calling from Ridgewood. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good show.
Thanks,
here's my thing. You cannot trade Pete Alonso for one thing, even though you think he's selfish. I don't think he's selfish. The man's donated money every single time he's won the home run derby to a ton of salaries.
Yeah, and he's going to do it again, too. In that regard, no, I'm not talking about selfish in that regard. I'm talking about as a teammate.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I get you. Here's one thing. I have a question for you, Sal. If you get into an argument with your wife, if you disagree with one thing she says, do you trade her? Do you divorce her? Because you said earlier that you want to trade Pete Alonso, which is bad. Do you divorce your wife if you get into an argument, or you disagree with one thing?
This is an easy answer, Sal, by the way.
But I'm confused at the analogy because
it's a horrible one.
It's not one argument. Unless
I heard incorrectly, you said you want to trade Pete Alonso.
Right, but I didn't say I want to trade Pete Alonso because of the All-Star game thing.
You called him selfish, correct?
Yeah. But that's not why I wanted to trade him. Did you listen to the whole show? And if in case you missed anything, check it out on the Free Odyssey app. What was the number one reason why I said I wanted to trade Pete Alonso?
If I heard incorrectly, I said you wanted to trade him because he's selfish.
No, that's not correct. Now, I'm going to ask you, before I tell you why I wanted to trade him, I'm going to ask you. You've watched the Mets, right? You're a Mets fan?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so you've seen them turn their season around, correct?
That's correct.
Give me in order the reasons for the turnaround as far as impactful players that they've had that have helped turn their season around. I want to hear it.
Grimace, number one.
Francisco Alvarez.
Yep.
Francisco Alvarez. J.D. Martinez.
Grimace.
Francisco Lindor.
Grimace.
Grimace.
Yeah.
yes, I get your
Nimmo,
point.
Nimmo.
There you go.
Vientos.
I get your point.
Iglesias.
But that's why
I said I wanted to trade him, because he's got no impact on the team. Not to mention, by the way, he's a free agent at the end of the year, and he wants more money than they're going to be willing to give him. So there's a lot more reason than just that he's selfish.
So another quick question. They're in a playoff run. Do you think the Mets are better or worse with Pete Alonso during this playoff run?
Now, Moving Joe, forward? That's a great question, and I think they're better off without him. And thank you for the call. As I said before, that's the great question. I think not addition by subtraction necessarily, but I think the Mets could move Pete, get something back for him, whatever that may be this year, but more so maybe moving forward, like you get top prospects back. And then in turn, as you always talked about, BT, building your team elsewhere, you could move Vientos to first base. You could bring up Beatty if you needed to. You could go get a third baseman.
Yeah.
It just gives you more wiggle room.
It does. It does, but not the way it was framed specifically. Like, it. What I would do doesn't matter. All right. I would have traded him this winter. Okay, but so do I think he's on the team next year? I don't. Do I think that they trade him before the trade deadline? I don't. So he's going to be in this pennant race. Do I think the Mets would be better during just little this month? You know, the next month, like in August, without him, I don't.
Well, I would.
I'll tell you why though.
Okay,
you know, because we mentioned Beatty, and I thought Beatty was going to be, you know, have some influence here as a player. He's yet to prove that. So saying Beatty, oh, you know, but you put Vientos at first, Beatty at third, Beatty might hit 190 again. Okay,
understood.
So that doesn't work out well.
Right.
I don't think that, and anybody that you get back for Pete will be young, unrefined, unproven prospects. I don't think it's major league
that
talent.
Can help you forward?
No, it could, but that's why I say specific to the pennant race.
But you can also spin those guys that you get now.
And then make another trade?
Correct.
Well, that's a little different. Now the wheels are spinning in a lot of directions. I'm not saying Stearns couldn't do that. That seems a lot trickier. If he could, oof, he's better than I even thought.
And they won't, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I just think, listen.
It doesn't mean they shouldn't.
Think
about it this way. You think it's more valuable to have Pete here, who's been the least impactful big player that they have in this turnaround. Okay, so I'm like,
given the options that I'm currently aware of. Again, if there's some trade that I don't know about, like if they got Jazz Chisholm, whatever, I mean, then you can swap some stuff and then you can do some things.
Well, let's just say that you got Pete. You got prospects for Pete, and then you turn those prospects into Chisholm, whoever it may be.
Yep.
That's a possibility. What I'm doing is taking away a piece that's not impacting the team.
But it's going to be more impactful than this theoretical piece. We have to be a little more fair than we're being right now to Pete Alonso. He is not a great player. He will never be a great player. He's not the Mets all-time best position player. I'm sorry. It's David Wright. Contract stuff aside, he's asking for the moon. He's lucky if he gets a start. It's going to be somewhere else. But to say that the Mets would be better the final few months without Pete Alonso, to me, is nonsensical.
Right, but if Pete Alonso... Well, but if I said that they're going to be better without Starling Marte a month ago, what would you say?
Yeah, but Marte's not hitting 45 home runs like Pete usually does.
Oh, but Pete's not hitting 45.
I understand, but it doesn't mean he can't hit 12 in the month of August.
Well, he might.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'd be looking to explore the option. And for the record, like, I would also be looking to explore the option of trading Edwin Diaz. I'd be doing that now. Now, you could say, well, how the hell is the Mets bullpen going to be better without Edwin Diaz? You'd have to get somebody else to close out games, but I'm looking to also not make them just better now. I'm looking to make them better in the future. And I think that moves like that, while they may be difficult, while it may sound shocking, those are the type of moves that can benefit you in the long run down the road.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Now, time for Game Time without Boomer Esiason with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, BT, here we go. Let's open up a pack of cards here. Been a while. Did we do one last week or no? Oh, no, because we were both off.
We were off.
4th of July.
Yep.
So it's been a while. I got a pack for you that's just been sitting there. It kind of stands out because somebody sent us some.
Okay.
Stadium Club, 1992.
Oh, 92.
Yeah. All right, but still.
All right, I got you.
I mean, I just want to get rid of it.
I hear you.
It's sitting there.
Does it look cool? Like, is it a cool look? Ah, nice.
I'm assuming this is the first year of Stadium Club.
Okay. I'm guessing they're glossy.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, nice.
Well, they were.
Nice.
Let's see if they're still. Okay. God, I can't even open this.
You could open the pack before we got on here.
Yeah.
Generally,
I was doing something else. I was reading. My wife was texting me.
Oh, that's why he was so quiet. I knew you were into something you didn't want to be into. I could actually tell. Like, what is he doing?
Actually, I was asking her to look up reviews because I told you. Monday, I was supposed to go for I'm supposed to go get my eyes checked again and, like, schedule surgery.
Yep.
So my wife, who was a doctor and is good with that stuff.
But your wife was a doctor?
Yeah. She went to medical.
What?
She went to medical school in India to be a doctor.
Okay. Did she finish medical school?
She did. There.
Wow.
But here, she didn't want to finish it. So she did other stuff, and she worked. She was a clinical researcher for a while.
What the hell did she marry you
for? Yeah, I know. Well, I don't get.
Oh, my God.
You know.
I didn't know she was a, yeah, yeah.
But so she is a great researcher. So I'm like, look up these doctors. Because I don't know. I just go to new people in Jersey. And she was sending me back some stuff that might have been.
Not good reviews for where you were supposed to go?
Yeah, like whatever. She's just like, oh, pedestrian. I'm like, all right, well, maybe I'm going to get out of that appointment and prolong this thing.
Basically, then you said, keep looking and then get me a better one. Right? That's basically what you said.
I'm going to have to figure that out.
My wife's good with that, too. I have no time for that stuff.
Layup, first one for you.
All right.
Well, maybe not a layup.
Oh.
92.
Ooh.
Cecil Fielder.
1992. Cecil was no longer with the Toronto Blue Jays. He was on the Tigers.
That is correct.
Yeah, yeah. Man.
Sometimes you think too hard.
Yeah, I just want to make sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yankees in 96, midsummer.
All right, here's a name that I definitely know, but I don't know if I'd be able to pin this one down.
Okay.
Tony Fossas.
Oh, Tony Fossas was a pitcher.
Yes.
Oh, I'm seeing White Sox. I'm seeing Brewers. I'm going to say White Sox.
Red Sox.
Red Sox.
Do you remember what kind? Oh, Brewers is a good call.
Yeah.
He was with the Brewers before that.
I remember him.
Tony Foss is
a
lefty.
A lefty?
Yes, lefty reliever.
I knew him.
Damn it. All right, Luis Salazar.
Luis Salazar, I believe, was like a middle infielder. Mm. Maybe played a little third.
Yes.
Okay. I think I'm going to get the team wrong. White Sox?
The year's going to get you.
White Sox?
Cubs.
Cubbies.
You've been in the ballpark here.
Yes, I have been.
1 for 3.
I admit, 92 is when I'm certainly not buying cards anymore at all. You know, I mean, I'm watching the games, but they don't expect to do as well here.
I know. Even me, I don't know. Although some of these names, so far I've recognized all the names. I don't know if I would have been able to nail the teams down. All right, here's one. Sean Abner.
Sean Abner was an outfielder.
Yep.
He was in one of those Mets trades, right?
He was drafted by the Mets.
Yeah. May have been a high first round pick, too. Sean Abner, not the Expos. I think I'm going to mess this one up, too. I'm going to say this guy bounced around. I'm just going to throw a dart. A's?
Ooh.
Close.
Angels. Yeah, your theory, California Angels. Yeah, I think Abner was a number one pick of the Mets in 84.
84? Okay.
Let's get you back on track here.
Oof.
Bernie Williams.
Bernie. Yanks.
Yeah, look at that card.
One. Ooh, running. Okay.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, it's mid-stride going to third base. 2 for 5.
Al Osuna.
Al Osuna was a pitcher.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I remember him. Ugh. I'm seeing the Orioles. I'm not feeling incredibly confident about that, but I'm going to go with the Orioles.
Astros.
Yeah.
I wonder how I would have done with this pack.
It's a tough pack.
Yeah, it is.
Tough pack.
Willie Frazier. This is
pitcher.
Probably, yes.
Twins?
Cardinals.
Man, I'm in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
and
I know.
I'm bombing
That's
a lot here.
That's the first
here,
one I don't think I would have. I don't think I heard of him.
I could see him pitching, too.
John Crook.
John Crook, you mean?
Yeah.
Crook?
Yeah. John Crook? Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's not John Crook. It's John Crook. Crook. What? How you say it?
John Crook.
Huh?
How do you say it?
You say it weird.
John Crook.
No, it's John Crook.
John Crook.
Is it me or is he saying
it's
it weird?
Crook. John Crook.
No, like C-R-O-O-K?
No, like
he's a crook?
K-R-U-K.
The cops.
John
well,
Crook.
I know, but it's John Crook.
I've said it that way my whole life. John Crook.
How do you say it?
Crook.
Yeah, exactly. He's saying, how
That's
do you
what
say
I'm saying it. John Crook.
No, you said crook.
Yeah,
John
not
Crook.
Yeah, he's saying it weird.
John Crook, what
he's
do you mean?
He's saying it like somebody from Oklahoma. Weird. Hey, see that first baby, John Crook, come up last night.
1992.
John Crook here?
Yeah.
Phillies.
Yeah. Look at that card, too.
Wow, he's kind of thin there as well. It looks like he's trying to avoid the tag at third base.
I always loved him.
Yeah, I was a big John Crook
Good
fan
personality.
As well.
Good personality. I miss him
Not
all the
as
games.
Big as John Crook fan.
I don't understand. I'm saying it the same way.
Just take our word for it. You're saying it.
Yeah.
Say it again.
WNBC. I'm hearing the same thing that you're saying.
You're not, though.
John Crook.
It's getting a little more
John
there.
John Crook. That's how
That's
you
it. That was it. Say go.
Yeah, I'm saying the same
no,
thing.
No, but like, do look at it, look at it phonetically.
WNBC.
WNBC. Do it phonetically. K-R, all right, U-H. K.
But there's no C
I
there.
I know, but
John
I'm just
Crook.
Saying, I'm going to write, now, if you see the letters, K-R-U-H-K, Crook.
John Crook.
Crook. Almost like the crux of the matter, the crux of the matter.
I say
you're saying crook.
I say more crook. Yeah, John.
I know.
Crook.
Well, now you finally admit it. You just wasted 40
to
seconds.
That, like, yeah, John.
All right.
Crook.
Here you go. Right. So you say it weird.
Pat Borders,
Toronto Blue Jays. Yeah. He's very good. I think he may win the MVP one of those World Series. Catcher. Yeah. Yep. Righty hitter, long hair. Right. He had like one of those. He had good hair. He had long hair in the
ooh,
back.
Ooh, here's a name, a blast from the past. Yeah. Todd Van Poppel.
Oh, Toddy Van Poppel was the first round pick of the Oakland A's back in the day. Let me make sure he's still on that team. I believe he would be. He may have been drafted. You said Tom Van Poppel, right?
Todd,
yeah. No,
yeah,
he may have been
Todd
drafted.
Van Poppel. I said Todd Van Poppel.
I knew you
said. I was just cursing. I
think he was drafted in like, he had to be on the A's.
Yes.
Had to be.
Yeah,
sorry. Big righty.
You're rolling now.
Yeah, let's go.
And I get you. Let me just make sure. Do you know how many you got?
I have at least five at this point,
one,
right?
One, two, three, four, five. That is five. Okay.
Okay.
Al Leiter.
Toronto.
Yes.
92.
Look at how young he looks in that picture.
Al's a good looking guy.
These are different pictures. Like the stadium club is they do a nice job.
Yeah, they do.
Mike Gallego.
Gallego. Yeah.
Mike Gallego.
All right.
Mike Gallego.
All right, we get it. Mike Gallego was on the A's.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, and then
all
he came
right.
to the Yanks. He was with the Yanks
I
for
remember,
a minute, too.
Yeah. Huh? Was that a trade or are they free agents?
I think they may have. Remember the Yankees had like Spike Owen? They were always trying to find a shortstop before they got Jeter. Tony Fernandez. They couldn't find a shortstop.
Joe Orslak.
Was an outfielder.
Yep.
Either for the Orioles or the Phillies. Am I right with one of those two teams?
I'm not going to give you clues.
Thanks, buddy. Joe Orslak.
I will say I don't recall him playing. I don't recall him playing for the Phillies. I could think of three teams that he played for, none of the Phillies.
Could have been on Toronto. I'm going to stick with the Baltimore Orioles.
That is correct.
Yes.
He was a Pirate before that.
Don't remember that as much.
And he was a Met.
I definitely don't remember him as a Met.
Yeah, Joe Orslak was a Met.
For how many years?
That I don't know.
Not
I want to say 94, 95?
Lefty hitter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, number blondish six, hair. I could see him.
Yeah. Well, good call with the Orioles.
Ah, nice.
Pirates, it shows the Pirates
wow.
on the back of that car.
They give you the previous year. That's cool.
Yeah. Or whatever year that was.
Heater time, by the way. Keep going.
Orlando Merced.
Pirates.
Boom.
Let's go.
This is going to be a tricky one to close out here. Chili Davis.
In 92?
That's, 1992.
Yeah. All right.
Good luck.
I know. Chili was everywhere. I think it was all the Giants.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Twins.
Uh-huh.
All right, not bad run, though.
Actually, a really good run. What did I finish up with there? How many right? I got about 10 right.
Yeah, the layups here. One, two, three, four, five,
Joe Orsulek
six,
is
seven,
not a layup.
Eight, nine. Ten? Nine out of one, two, three, four, five,
15,
six. 17. Yeah, so nine for 15.
Wrong.
Nine right.
Nine out of 15.
There you go.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not even my wheelhouse for the best year. All right, there you go.
All right, BT and Sal nice. On the fan. Let's get a call in here before we get to Bogus. Ralph is calling from Howard Beach. What's up, Ralph?
Ralphie.
Hey, Sal. Hey, Brendan. How's it going today?
Good, Ralph. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Ralph.
Good. Guys. This bashing of Pete Alonso needs to stop. You guys,
I'm defending him today, by the way.
Nobody's bashing him.
But Pete Alonso's presence in the lineup makes everybody better. Because he can hit a home run against any pitcher in the league, and you're not bringing that up in any capacity.
Well, why hasn't he? He's got 18 homers. I mean, please.
He has 18. All right, 18. 2019, 53 home runs, 120 RBIs. 22.
Yeah, it's 20.
Home
I know
runs,
the numbers.
RBIs.
Ralph, it's 2024.
That has a presence, Sal.
It's 2020.
That has a presence.
Well, then why hasn't he done something this year?
Okay. He literally hit 12 or 15 home runs in a month, Sal. Yeah. And you don't think he's going to finish year at 35-40.
Well,
he could easily have 35 home runs this year.
No, I don't. I don't think he's going to finish with 40 home runs. And I hope he does. I have his over and our over-unders. I hope Pete goes nuts. I don't believe he's going to.
He can easily do it. You don't think Pete Alonso in this lineup makes every pitcher a little worried that they have to pitch around him slightly?
No.
Everybody. And where was Lindor in April? Where was Lindor in May? Where was
hold on a second.
You're busy, but you don't want to bash everybody else. The whole team started. We started 0-5 because
Ralph
wasn't playing.
Ralph, first of all, nobody's bashing Pete, and thank you for the call. Nobody is bashing Pete Alonso. Me saying that he's been selfish in the way that he handled the All-Star stuff is not bashing Pete Alonso. I'm telling you how I feel about it. Me saying that Pete Alonso's hitting, was he hitting 213?
I think it's a little higher than that.
I'm sorry. No, that was last year. Maybe I got confused with last year.
Yeah, it's like in the 240s, I think.
Yeah, okay, in the 240s. Okay, well, we've done it. Pete Alonso's made it to 240 this year. So I'm not bashing Pete. I'm telling you the reality of the situation. And here's the best way I could say it. give me, for the Mets turnaround, the most impactful Mets this year. We've rattled off about eight guys before you get to Pete Alonso. That's all. Doesn't mean that he can't be impactful moving forward.
He could be the most impactful moving forward.
It means that the Mets, I'm seeing the Mets have success without Pete being an integral part.
Me too.
Generally, you'd be like, oh, well, Pete's struggling. The Mets can't win without him. And it's the exact opposite. They've won with Pete being, you know,
he's been pedestrian. He's been pedestrian. By his you know, power prowess standards, he's been pedestrian.
And that wasn't even the entire point. The point was more about the All-Star game. We'll reset that point as we hit you with the crown top of the day when we come back on the other side. Plus your calls at 888-808-1019. Right now, let's get you updated. Here's Chris Lopresti. Long run down the road.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Now time for Game Time without Boomer Esiason with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, BT, here we go. Let's open up a pack of cards here. Been a while. Did we do one last week or no? Oh, no, because we were both off.
We were off.
4th of July.
Yep.
So it's been a while. I got a pack for you that's just been sitting there. It kind of stands out because somebody sent us some.
Okay.
Stadium Club, 1992.
Oh, 92.
Yeah. All right, but still.
All right, I got you.
I mean, I just want to get rid of it.
All right.
It's sitting there.
Does it look cool? Like, is it a cool look? Ah, nice.
I'm assuming this is the first year of Stadium Club.
Okay. I'm guessing they're glossy.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, nice.
Well, they were.
Nice.
Let's see if they're still. Okay. God, I can't even open this thing.
You could open the pack before we got on the air.
Yeah.
Generally,
I was doing something else. I was reading. My wife was texting me.
Oh, that's why he was so quiet. I knew you were into something you didn't want to be into. I could actually tell. I'm like, what is he doing?
Actually, I was asking her to look up reviews because I told you Monday I was supposed to go for I'm supposed to go get my eyes checked again and like schedule surgery.
Yep.
So my wife, who was a doctor and is good with that stuff.
But your wife was a doctor?
Yeah. She went to medical She went to medical school in India to be a doctor.
Okay. Did she finish medical school?
She did. There,
wow.
But here she didn't want to finish it. So she did other stuff and she worked. She was a clinical researcher for a while.
What the hell did she marry you for?
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't get.
Oh my God.
You know.
I didn't know she was a. Yeah, yeah.
But so she is a great researcher. So I'm like, look up these doctors because I don't know. I just go to the new people in Jersey. And she was sending me back some stuff that might have been
not good reviews for where you were supposed to go?
Yeah, like whatever. She's just like, oh, pedestrian. I'm like, all right, well, maybe I'm going to get out of that appointment and prolong this thing.
Basically, then you said, keep looking and then get me a better one, right? That's basically what you said.
I'm going to have to figure that out.
My wife's good with that, too. I have no time for that stuff.
Layup, first one for you.
All right.
Well, maybe not a layup.
Oh.
92.
Ooh.
Cecil Fielder.
1992. Cecil was no longer with the Toronto Blue Jays. He was on the Tigers.
That is correct.
Yeah,
sometimes you think too hard.
Yeah, I just want to make sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yankees in 96, midsummer.
All right, here's a name that I definitely know, but I don't know if I'd be able to pin this one down.
Okay.
Tony Fossas.
Oh, Tony Fossas was a pitcher.
Yes.
Oh, I'm seeing White Sox. I'm seeing Brewers. I'm going to say White Sox.
Red Sox.
Red Sox.
Do you remember what kind? Oh, Brewers is a good call.
Yeah.
He was with the Brewers before that.
I remember him.
Tony Foss is
a
lefty.
A lefty?
Yes, lefty reliever.
I knew him.
All right, Luis Salazar.
Luis Salazar, I believe, was like a middle infielder. Maybe play a little third?
Yes.
Okay. I think I'm going to get the team wrong. White Sox?
The year's going to get you.
White Sox?
Cubs.
Cubbies.
You've been in the ballpark here.
Yes, I have been.
1-for-3.
I admit, 92 is when I'm certainly not buying cards anymore at all. You know, I mean, I'm watching the games, but they don't expect to do as well here.
I know. Even me, I don't know. Although some of these names, so far I've recognized all the names. I don't know if I would have been able to nail the teams down. All right, here's one. Sean Abner.
Sean Abner was an outfielder.
Yep.
He was in one of those Mets trades, right?
He was drafted by the Mets.
Yeah. May have been a high first round pick, too. Sean Abner, not the Expos. I think I'm going to mess this one up, too. I'm going to say this guy bounced around. I'm just going to throw a dart. A's?
Ooh.
Close.
Angels. Yeah, your theory, California Angels. Yeah, I think Abner was a number one pick of the Mets in 84.
84? Okay.
Let's get you back on track here.
Oof.
Bernie Williams.
Bernie. Yanks.
Yeah, look at that card.
One. Ooh, running. Okay.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, it's mid-stride going to third base. Two for five.
Al Osuna.
Al Osuna was a pitcher.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I remember him. I'm seeing the Orioles. I'm not feeling incredibly confident about that, but I'm going to go with the Orioles.
Astros.
Yeah.
I wonder how I would have done with this pack.
It's a tough pack.
Yeah, it is.
Tough pack.
Willie Frazier. This is
pitcher.
Probably, yes.
Twins?
Cardinals.
Man, I'm in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
and
I know.
I'm bombing
That's
a lot here.
That's the first
here,
one I don't think I would have. I don't think I heard of him.
I can see him pitching, too.
John Crook.
John Crook, you mean?
Yeah.
Crook?
Yeah, John Crook. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's not John Crook. It's John Crook. What? Huh? How you say it?
John Crook.
Huh?
How do you say it?
You say it weird.
John Crook.
No, it's John Crook.
John Crook.
Is it me or is he saying
it's
it weird?
Crook. John Crook.
No, like C-R-O-O-K?
No, like
he's a crook?
K-R-U-K.
Call the cops?
John
Crook. Well, I know, but it's John Crook.
I've said it that way my whole life. John Crook.
How do you say it?
Crook.
Yeah, exactly. He's saying, how do you
say I'm saying it. John Crook.
No, you said Crook.
Yeah,
John
not-
Crook.
Yeah, he's saying it weird.
John Crook. What
he's
do you
saying
mean?
It like that somebody from Oklahoma. Weird. Hey, see that first name John Crook come up last night?
1992.
John Crook here?
Yeah.
Phillies.
Yeah. Look at that card, too.
Wow, he's kind of thin there as well. It looks like he's trying to avoid the tag at third base.
I always loved him.
Yeah, I was a big John Crook
Good
fan
personality.
As well.
I miss him
Not as
games.
Big as John Crook fan.
I don't understand. I'm saying it the same way.
Just take our word for it. You're saying it. Yeah. Say it again.
WNBC. I'm hearing the same thing that you're saying.
You're not, though.
John Crook.
It's getting a little more
John
there.
John Crook. That's how
That's it. That was it. Say go.
Yeah, I'm saying the same
No,
thing.
But like, dude, look at it, look at it phonetically.
WNBC.
WNBC. Do it phonetically. K-R, all right, U-H-K.
But there's no C there.
I know, but
John
I'm just
Crook.
Saying, I'm going to write, now, if you see the letters, K-R-U-H-K, Crook.
John Crook.
Crook. Almost like the crux of the matter, the crux of the matter.
I say.
You're saying Crook.
I say more Crook, yeah, John
I know,
Crook.
Well, now you finally admit it. You just
well,
wasted
compared
40
to
seconds.
That, like, yeah, John
all right.
Crook.
There you go. Right. So you say it weird.
Pat Borders.
Toronto Blue Jays. He's very good. I think he may win the MVP one of those World
catcher.
Series. Catcher,
yeah.
Yep. Righty hitter, long hair.
Right.
He had like one of those. He had good hair. He had long hair in the
Ooh,
back.
Ooh, here's Addie a name, Payton. A blast from the past. Yeah. Todd Van Poppel.
Oh, Toddy Van Poppel was the first round pick of the Oakland A's back in the day. Let me make sure he's still on that team. I believe he would be. He may have been drafted. You said Tom Van Poppel, right?
Todd,
yeah. I know.
Yeah,
he may have been
Todd
drafted.
Van Poppel. I said Todd Van Poppel.
I knew you
said
that.
It was just curse. I
think he was drafted in like night. He had to be on the A's.
Yes.
Had to be.
Yeah.
So you're, big righty.
You're rolling now.
Yeah, let's go.
And I get you. Let me just make sure. Do you know how many you got?
I have at least five at this point,
One,
right?
One, two, three, four, five. That is five. Okay.
Okay.
Al Leiter.
Toronto.
Yes.
92.
Look at how young he looks in that picture.
Al's a good looking guy.
These are different pictures. Like the stadium club is they do a nice job.
Yeah, they do.
Mike Gallego.
Gallego. Yeah.
Mike Gallego.
All right. Bob.
Mike Gallego.
All right, we get it. We get it. Mike Gallego was on the A's.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, and then
all
he came
right.
to the Yanks. He was with the Yanks
I
for
remember,
a minute, too.
Yeah. Huh? Was that a trade or are they free agents?
I think they may have. Remember the Yankees had like Spike Owen? They were always trying to find a shortstop before they got Jeter. Tony Fernandez. They couldn't find a shortstop.
Joe Orslak.
Was an outfielder.
Yep.
Either for the Orioles or the Phillies. Am I right with one of those two teams?
I'm not going to give you clues.
Thanks, buddy. Joe Orslak.
I will say I don't recall him playing. I don't recall him playing for the Phillies. I could think of three teams that he played for, none of the Phillies.
Could have been on Toronto. I'm going to stick with the Baltimore Orioles.
That is correct.
Yes.
He was a Pirate before that.
Don't remember that as much.
And he was a Met.
I definitely don't remember him as a Met.
Yeah, George Sykes was a Met.
For how many years?
That I don't know.
Not
I want to say 94, 95?
Lefty hitter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
number
blondish
six,
hair.
Outfield,
I remember.
Yeah.
I can see him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good call with the Orioles.
And nice.
Pirates, it shows the Pirates
on
the back of that car. I don't
they give you the previous
that.
Year. That's cool.
Yeah. Or whatever year that was.
Heater time, by the way. Keep going.
Orlando Merced.
Pirates.
Boom.
Let's go.
This is going to be a tricky one to close out here. Chili Davis.
In 92?
That's, 1992.
Yeah. Right.
Good luck.
I know. Chili was everywhere. I think he was on the Giants.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Twins. All right, not bad run, though.
Actually, a really good run. What did I finish up with there? How many right? I got about 10 right.
Yeah, the layups here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, Nine ten? Out of 9 for 15. Nine right.
Nine out of 15.
There you go.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not even my wheelhouse for the best year. All right, there you go.
All right, BT and Sal nice. On the fan. Let's get a call in here before we get to Bogus. Ralph is calling from Howard Beach. What's up, Ralph?
Ralphie.
Hey, Sal. Hey, Brendan. How's it going today?
Good, Ralph. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Ralph.
Good. Guys. This bashing of Pete Alonso needs to stop.
You guys, I'm defending him today, by the way.
Nobody's bashing him.
Pete Alonso's presence in the lineup makes everybody better. Because he could hit a home run against any pitcher in the league, and you're not bringing that up in any capacity.
But why hasn't he? He's got 18 homers. I mean, please.
He has 18. 2019, 53 home runs, 120 RBIs. 22.
Yeah, it's 20. I know the numbers. Ralph, it's 2024.
That's a present, Sal.
It's 2020. Well, then why hasn't he done something this year?
Okay. He only hit 12 or 15 home runs in a month, Sal. Yeah. And he's at, you don't think he's going to finish year at 35-40. Well, he could easily have 35 home runs this year.
No, I don't. Sal. I don't think he's going to finish with 40 home runs. And I hope he does. I have his over and our over-unders. I hope Pete goes nuts. I don't believe he's going to.
He can easily do it. You don't think Pete Alonso in this lineup makes every pitcher a little worried that they have to pitch around him slightly?
No.
Everybody. And where was Lindor in April? Where was Lindor in May? Where was all the...
Well, hold on a second.
You're busy, but you don't want to bash everybody else. The whole team saw. We started 0-5 because he wasn't playing.
Ralph, first of all, nobody's bashing Pete, and thank you for the call. Nobody is bashing Pete Alonso. Me saying that he's been selfish in the way that he handled the All-Star stuff is not bashing Pete Alonso. I'm telling you how I feel about it. Me saying that Pete Alonso's hitting, was he hitting 213?
I think it's a little higher than that.
230. Oh, I'm sorry. Something. No, that was last year. Maybe I got confused with last year.
Yeah, it's like in the 240s,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, okay, in the 240s. Okay, well, we've done it. Pete Alonso's made it to 240 this year. So I'm not bashing Pete. I'm telling you the reality of the situation. And here's the best way I can say it. Give me, for the Mets turnaround, the most impactful Mets this year. We've rattled off about 8 guys before you get to Pete Alonso. That's all. Doesn't mean that he can't be impactful moving forward.
He could be the most impactful moving forward.
It means that the Mets, I'm seeing the Mets have success without Pete being an integral part.
Me too.
Generally, you'd be like, oh, well, Pete's struggling. The Mets can't win without him. And it's the exact opposite. They've won with Pete being,
he's been pedestrian. He's been pedestrian by his power prowess standards. He's been pedestrian,
and that wasn't even the entire point. The point was more about the All-Star game. We'll reset that point as we hit you with the crown topic of the day when we come back on the other side. Plus your calls at 888-808-1019. Right now, let's get you updated. Here's Chris LaPresti.